Monaco.
C'è point of procedure.
Before.
Point of procedure.
Okay.
It's a different way of saying point of order. A polite way, in fact, point of procedure. Before we get in, I want to propose strongly that don't we want to give CEO an opportunity to speak? Because there is a Hegelian struggle in this document. It might not find a synthesis, but the contradictions have been sharpened, and he's here. Why doesn't he do his side of the story, and then you can come back to us? I don't know. So that we have the full package. That is my proposal. CEO. Thank you. That's my proposal. Otherwise, you know, I'm fine with anything.
Honorable Funder, the report is in two parts. The first one is the normal, this report presented. It's the normal presentation that we know. And the latter part is the diagnostic report of the department, of the entity. I'm categorizing the report as such. Honorable Funder.
Thanks, Chair. I'd just like to back Honorable Lozi's suggestion. The CEO is the acting CEO is the executive running MDDA. The chairperson of the board is non-executive. So in fact, we should have had a presentation from Mr. Lepoko, who is the acting CEO, not the chairperson, who appears to be an executive chairperson in essence. The way she's presented the presentation, it seems like she's actually the one running the entity and micromanaging Mr. Lepoko. So I would like to hear from Mr. Lepoko, who is the acting CEO. We've heard now from what appears to be an executive chairperson, when she's in fact appointed in a non-executive
role. So it's in Amela now. I think your proposal, Honorable Lose's proposal, you second it. That let's the committee must give a chance to Mr. Acting? Are you Dipoko or Lepoko? Yeah, that's what I know. Mr. Dipoko, that's the proposal. That proposal talks to the diagnostic report, the one, the latter part of the report, that talks to the problems of this thing. So that's the proposal from the two members. Honorable Dolashe?
Thank you,
welcome to you.
Honorable Chairperson, I agree with the proposal, but also just for Mr. Dipoko to reflect and you come back to us. But I don't think we must criticize the way you have arranged the meeting and the presentation, because we all agreed before anybody presented it was our agreement on how we're going to follow the presentations. I don't think there's nothing wrong, anything wrong with that. But I accept this proposal, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honorable Kalaba?
No, Chair, I wanted just to be specific that the acting CEO, if he can start from, we don't need the whole other thing, just starting from the status score of the MDDA, which covers this part. It will be important for us.
All right. I think there is an agreement that leave other things, but there is an agreement that the acting CEO must give us his perspective on the issues of MDDA as the acting CEO. Mr. Dipoko. It's not Lepoko, Dipoko.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chair, I think we've been here before. We may as well replace the letters MDDA with the letters SABC. Because I think the identifiers that we saw in the previous SABC and what we are seeing now in the current MDDA are strikingly similar. So for me, I've had the opportunity to be there with the old SABC, and I think it was different. When you are an accounting officer and you are far from the action, you accept the PowerPoint reports. But when you are on the ground operationally and you can actually see what is happening, the experience is very different. So I would have written the PowerPoint presentation differently. I would have asked about the board itself. I would have questioned the decisions around corporate governance. I would have talked to staff intimidation. I would have talked to what is the basis for the revolving door of executives that you've seen at the organization. And I think most importantly, the question that I would ask is, what then do we do? Do we allow the status quo to remain and to really put in peril the 400-odd community media that are being supported? Or do we take an approach that says we have an opportunity to make a clean break and start building towards a more sustainable organization? I took issue with some of the slides, firstly to say that from 1 to 2021 are a representation of the organization. So those are a reflection of what is being done in that organization. Slides 23, 22, and 24 are views that are held by the board. And I want to argue that they don't really have any basis in the reality of the organization. And I'll give some examples. The presentation states that the board is constituted of diverse members, that they're committed and they're developmental in approach, and they're activist in nature. My own observations are that we actually have three active board members. There may well be four board members, but if you read the charter, it's quite clear about the expectations of board members. You have to be in consecutive meetings. If you miss meetings, questions should be asked about your position on that board. So actually there are three members from the nine that was envisaged in the Act. Without stretching any imagination, I don't think that constitutes a diversity of perspectives or skills as envisaged in the Act.
And who are these members?
The three members are accompanying me today.
It's the chair. That's one. Number two, Vail. And?
I think, Chair.
So those are the three board members. The fourth one is Zanele Mngadi, because we're told four. And where is Zanele Mngadi? Just on this one, members, so that we are clear.
No, she's not available today.
But she's a board member.
She's a board member.
Is the president's appointee?
Okay.
Or it's our appointee?
No, it's an executive authority appointee.
It's anonymous. Can you proceed? Proceed, Mr. Dipok.
Chair, thank you. I think we can talk about the developmental nature, and I know for sure that there isn't a developmental charter in the organization. What this has done is it's led to confusion about the process that the board uses to approve project funding. So, in essence, what we have is suspicion of deliberate marginalization of service providers, the accusations of favoritism of specific suppliers, there's arbitrary support for beneficiaries. So some projects are fast-tracked. The staff actually don't know what is the criteria that they must be using to bring projects through for execution. My particular gripe is around corporate governance, and I'm also concerned about the fact that staff are being victimized. And I also want to argue that if we look at the exit reports of the board members that have left, and I would ask that the portfolio committee has the opportunity to look through this, ask why it is that the board members have resigned. So I looked at the matter that spoke to inheriting a wounded organization and the board intervention focusing on organizational development and capacity building. And I have a different view. What I've seen is that the three members are actually instrumental in institutionalizing a culture of intimidation, that we have preferential treatment and interference in the day-to-day operations of the agency. And the modus operandi is fairly straightforward. The members will target non-cooperative employees. They'll arbitrarily change their responsibilities. They sponsor third parties to malign and assassinate their professional character. They initiate damaging disciplinary and legal actions meant to frustrate employees in order to leave the organization. I looked at the legal costs of the agency. And I think often when we present slides, you just see a number. You don't get to actually ask, what are the cases? And those are the kinds of questions that we should best be looking at, because the litigation that is happening at the MDDA is primarily against employees. Now, employees have tabled numerous complaints during the portfolio committee oversight visits, and they've written no less than two petitions to Parliament, as well as the executive authority. And the issues that have been raised really call into question the ethics of the members, and they warrant an independent investigation into their behavior. I went back to look since 2014 under this current board. The MDDA has had six accounting officers. On average, they are working no longer than 4 months. I've looked for the exit reports. For the record, there are none for five of the six executives. Of the permanent appointments, one was appointed regularly by the board and was paid a settlement to terminate the contract. The other resigned to preserve his professional reputation. We've had two accounting officers, seconded from national government, requesting that they should return to their departments following repeated clashes with the board. We've had two internal acting appointments who have suffered a rapid deterioration of health. One resigned, and the other is medically incapacitated. So that's six people since 2014. The organizational design process, my gripe with it is not that it is ineffective. My gripe is that it is being used cynically by the three board members to punish and coerce employees through selective leaks of employee qualifications, calling into question their remuneration as well as their seniority in the organization. Bursaries are allocated and denied either to reward or punish employees to solicit their compliance in facilitating this unethical behavior. The idea of building this integrated knowledge-based learning organization, it's a good one. But there's no human resource development plan in the organization that articulates this objective, nor is there a strategy in place to fund it to build a knowledge-based organization. There's no smart measurement criteria in place to establish whether this objective will result in any benefit to the organization or to the community media sector. This is the case despite the appointment of three specialist human resource consulting companies to assist management and the board. I listed and I understood those slides that speak to a deterioration and incoherence and a lack of leadership at management level as being essentially a tirade against myself, And I want to go into more detail into my understanding of the situation. The bodies are alleging that recruitment has stalled. And I want to start out by saying that those people that left did not leave because of anything I did. When I arrived, the positions were already vacant. When I inquired on why some of the executive positions were vacant, I was informed that the executive management posts had not been filled as the board had preferred that the CEO appoint staff of his choosing. I've worked in many organizations. None of us had the luxury of arriving in a state-owned entity and saying we're going to wait and freeze posts and the new CEO is going to come in and appoint his own executives. It doesn't work like that, because in essence what you're doing is, in the interim, you're compromising the delivery of the organization. I was debriefed by the human resource consultant and the new human resource and corporate affairs manager. Incidentally, we both started in the same month in May, that there were significant lapses in the recruitment processes at the MDDA involving improperly constituted interview panels, incomplete records, disparities in remuneration, and board interference in appointments. That's actually the context in which I'm being targeted and I'm being accused of stalling recruitment. These matters were known to the board, and by the members' own admission, they've not taken any action to rectify them. I've also noted that there's a total lack of diversity in the MDDA's staffing profile. So on the one hand, we talk about diversity and how we're going to embrace disability and all of these other things. But in essence, if you look at the profile of the employees, they do not reflect the people that we are supposed to serve. So there are no disabled employees. We have one white person. That's the only diversity that we have currently. There's no or inadequate provincial and language representation in the organization. I approved updated job descriptions and I've established shortlisting panels in order to address these matters. You may ask, is 30 days sufficient to do it? Could it have been done in 60 days? The point for me is that the recruitment plan has been approved and it is being implemented. Given the freeze on recruitment at the DOC, you know that the department is not employing more people. We've engaged with the human resource and corporate affairs manager to ensure that we can get human resource practitioners available from the parent department to assist us to fast-track recruitment. There's no justifiable reason to procure external human resource consultants without first exhausting the options to collaborate with the DOC or the GCIS. The point that speaks to relationships breaking down, I think I want to put on the record that the relationships have deteriorated in essence due to the leadership style of the chairperson. While I've readily agreed to mediation by the minister and I've sought intervention of the Independent Audit and Risk Committee, I must say that the board members have at different times attempted to firstly terminate my secondment without consultation with the executive authority. I was instructed, in fact I was prevented by security from entering the building. I've seen many things. I think that for me was a first. Normally, your staff will protest and you know stop you from entering the building. This time, I was locked out of the building by the board. They prevented me from reporting to duty. And I'm surprised that despite mediation, the board continued to comment on this matter and they utilized the media to cast aspersions on my reputation and my abilities. The board engagements are little more than spirited and unsubstantiated tirades against me. There's no discussion or proper consideration of the proposals that have been brought to the board meetings. I'm not given any time to respond to matters or questions. At no point am I invited to contribute to the agenda. Often I receive the agenda an hour or two before the meeting itself. This really compromises the ability of the accounting officer to add any value to the conversations. I'm not able to do any research. I can't compile any documentation. These are all important things that are required in order for me to assist the board members in their deliberations. I'm being accused of a divide and rule leadership style. And I want to tell you that in actual fact, what happens here is that the board members isolate, they misdirect, and they purposefully misinterpret the actions of those identified as being standing in their way. One of the items that I saw there was that I had engaged with the deputy minister. Well, I'm aware that the deputy minister has been issued with delegations by the minister. You've raised this point. The minister, having given those delegations, had an expectation that the deputy minister would be at the forefront of leading this entity. And indeed, when the deputy minister started, having received those letters, she requested urgent meetings with the board, not only the MDDA board, but the boards and the executives of all the delegated entities. The MDDA failed to honor any of the proposed meetings. And in response, the deputy minister requested that the board should halt its engagements until she could be properly briefed on its program. This board willfully misled the portfolio committee by claiming that the deputy minister had instructed the MDDA to cease all operations. This despite the chairperson admitting in my presence that she had erred in her communication with the deputy minister and committed to repair the relationship in the interests of the entity. What you should know is that, as a matter of fact, the members that are currently on this board have continued to defy the deputy minister. There are several written communiques from the office of the deputy minister, and it's a pity that the deputy minister is not here, because I would have preferred that she should be the one to explain what is happening between the board and herself. I've also been accused of a lack of leadership and an exclusion of management and staff during the audit period, resulting in a report lacking context. And I also want to put on the record here that we're talking about the audit period 2016-17, which ended on the 31st of March. I arrived at the MDDA on the 8th of May 2017. My immediate preoccupation was to attend to a failure in the backup of financial records for quarter four. So we could only account for three of the four quarters of the year. The parcel system had crashed during the office relocation, and we could not close the financial year. So we were actually unprepared. We were not ready to enter into the audit. I negotiated a postponement with the Auditor General's office and immediately co-sourced the internal audit partner, SNG, to allocate two teams to verify the financial records and to quality assure the financial records. I was able to do this with the acting CFO under the guidance of the Audit and Risk Committee. I subsequently approved the engagement letters and established a task team led by the internal audit officer to liaise with employees and collate portfolios of evidence as required by the Auditor General. We provided weekly updates on progress, and these were reported by the internal audit officer at our management committees. As appropriate, I mediated between the employees and the Auditor General, and where I was confronted with challenges I was unfamiliar with, I would consult with colleagues at the National Treasury, at Brand SA, and at the Department of Communications. I chaired the final closeout audit meeting between the MDDA employees and the Auditor General, in which we held robust discussions on the validation of targets. And there are two matters here that were in contention. The number of jobs, the number of indirect jobs created, and the verification of the central supplier database information, specifically the BEE certificates. We engaged with the Auditor General on these two matters in a follow-up meeting led by the target owners. So there were two specific managers who had follow-up meetings, and we couldn't secure further modifications to these findings. Finally, I participated in the audit and risk meeting wherein the Auditor General presented the draft management report. And in that meeting, management again challenged the findings that we were uncomfortable with. It goes without saying that having been at the MDDA for fewer than 60 days, it would not have been possible or desirable to exclude management and staff from the audit process. Mm. And I'm telling you outright that that is not the case. I've been accused of non-attendance at crucial meetings. I've been quick to say that I'm an employee, despite the fact that the board chose to trample over my rights by locking me out. I'm an employee and I'm entitled to leave. I'll just talk to 2 days. Two special board meetings on the 31st of July to review the quarter one performance reports and financials, and a meeting on the 23rd of August to review the broadcast procurement memorandum. On the 31st, I received an urgent call from my physician to return to his surgery for additional tests as there was an anomaly in my results. The acting CFO, the marketing and communications manager, the IT manager, the program manager for print, the risk specialist, the HR and corporate affairs manager, the company secretary, all attended the board meeting representing management. So did management in some way not act to support the board? We did. I've listed no less than 6 members of my management team who were present in that meeting. The representative from the Auditor General, as well as the Audit and Risk Committee chairperson, could not attend as the meeting was scheduled at short notice. My apology was tendered by the Marketing and Communications Manager, and the Company Secretary is here. You can inquire from the Company Secretary whether it was noted in the meeting or not. What is interesting, though, is that of the 3 board members that were available, 1 tendered an apology, 1 joined the meeting via teleconference, and only 1 member was actually physically present in the meeting. I've not seen the minutes of that meeting, but I think it can be easily confirmed by discussing this with the attendees. On the 23rd of August, I had a scheduled appointment with a nephrologist. It extended beyond the planned time as my results were again inconclusive, and I was unable to return to the office in time for the special board meeting. In this instance, I couldn't contact the office because unfortunately it was in an X-ray unit. But I have to say that bookings for this kind of medical care is planned well in advance, and it was impractical and not in the interest of my health to cancel or postpone these appointments.
Round up, Mr. DePogo. Round up. Try to summarize.
Okay. I'll round up then. I'll just speak to 2 additional matters. The issue of unauthorized signing of agreements and contracts. The contract that I'm being accused of signing without authorization is actually speaking to a Competition Commission MOU that was initiated by the outgoing CEO in February 2017. I was actually quite surprised that the board members were unaware of this MOU because the MOU had been worked on by the CEO, advised by the company secretary who is responsible for legal matters. As a matter of fact, by the time that I arrived at the MDDA, the implementation of the MOU had already been initiated. So in other words, a separate bank account had already been opened in order to receive levies from the Competition Commission. If members recall, the genesis of this action by the Competition Commission, I think I was 31 at the time, my first appearance in Parliament. The Portfolio Committee was chaired by Nkenke Kekana, and we began a process in which we looked quite closely at how it is that advertising spend was being allocated. And it was important at that time because we understood that the trends in advertising spend had not changed in line with the transforming South Africa. In fact, it is one of the reasons why community media is not sustainable today, is because they're still not getting an adequate share of their advertising revenue. In 2011, the Competition Commission then began an investigation into collusion in the advertising and marketing sector. And what they have subsequently done is prepared the opportunity to actually target anti-competitive behavior in the sector. This MOU was designed to establish an economic development fund that was going to collect the fines from these anti-competitive media sales behavior and redirect these funds to ensure that we could begin to address the development of black individuals in the media advertising sector as envisaged in the Marketing, Advertising and Communication Sector Charter.
Mr. DePauw, no, I'm not saying stop. When the report was presented here by the chairperson, I was sitting here looking at everybody. Nobody was panicking. And I can see board members. You just reflect your being uncomfortable on what he is presenting. Please don't do that. Just be calm. Time will come. Don't make some actions and shaking of heads and all of that. Let's not do that. Let's allow him to present, because that will get you into trouble.
I'll sum up, Chairperson. I think the point I was trying to make there quite simply is that I have been instructed to cancel the Memorandum of Understanding. I'm in the process of doing that. And I'm questioning whether it is in the interest of the sector or the interest of the MDDA, because it has made provision for funding from those levies to ensure that we could build internal capacity to implement bursary programs and all the elements that were in there. If I can just go back to the issue then of the cancellation of critical service provider contracts in the midst of delivery. And the proper context of it is that when the Auditor General looked at the contracts register, they noted that the number of contracts have expired and that many have been running without any signed extension. Some of those contracts have been flagged as contributing to irregular expenditure in the previous financial year. After discussion in the Management Committee on strategies to work towards a clean audit, it was agreed that irregular contracts would be terminated and replaced with panels of service providers. And the methodology is simple. We either establish a panel and we invite people to participate through a transparent supply chain management process, or we use existing National Treasury transversal contracts. So in other words, there are contracts that have already been pre-negotiated by the National Treasury that have no risk to the entity. 7 contracts are at issue. I cancelled a courier services contract, which expired on the 3rd of June, and already the National Treasury has a transversal contract. There were 2 human resource consulting contracts that expired on the 31st of July and the 10th of August, and the service providers have been advised to participate in a bid for a panel of HR service providers once this is advertised. No contract is in place for a 3rd human resource consultant, and I've advised them to provide contract copies. 3 legal service provider contracts expired on the 31st of July and the 10th of August 2017. And in writing, I've advised the service providers again that will be triggering the notice period of their respective contracts, and the legal service providers have been also invited to participate in the bid of panel of legal service providers once these have been advertised. I'm actually disputing that there's any risk to service delivery from cancelling the legal services contracts. The final matter about communicating with the Deputy Minister, I was advised by the board that I should have observed protocol and spoken to the board first prior to engaging with the deputy minister. I think I feel that it is my responsibility to intervene when I can see that there is a problem in the relationship between the executive authority and the accounting authority. I engaged with the deputy minister precisely in order to make sure that we could bring the organization closer together with the deputy minister. I don't know if you have noticed, it struck me, we are the only entity that is not included in the programs of the deputy minister. There is a reason. And I went to have a discussion with the deputy minister to get to the bottom of what the issues were and to really appeal to her that she should work with the MDDA, work with the board, because in essence, what is happening there is that staff feel disengaged. They feel that they are not part of the portfolio. We have not had, I think I was commenting to the Audit and Risk Committee, the first time that we had a minister or deputy minister appear at our premises was when the minister came to mediate so that I could be allowed back to work. We have not had since the two executive members were appointed, the kind of proximity that we should be enjoying. And I really think that instead of making out that these matters have arisen because of my presence there, we should really look at why it is that they have happened and ask the board, how did we get into this situation? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I will note that. I think we really need to hear as to why MDDA has been going down since 2014 in terms of the report of the Auditor General, because it has been doing well since. But since 2014, it has been going down. Maybe I think that is important so that we can hear from everybody what the problem is. I hear this problem. Acting CEO came in just recently. But since 2014, it has been sliding down. I think it's important to delve into the problems of Auditor General. That's one point that I wanted to check, members. And I will start here again. I'll start from here and then go down. Honorable Kalako Kungubele Dolash, Van Dam, Van Dijk. Okay, after Tolash it will be Machoba, and then we'll take that route. Honorable Kalam?
Chair, without, I won't take much of your time, but Chair, I think this is really shocking. I must make that comment. I don't want to get into details of what is reported here and what is presented, but it's really, really shocking. To me, Chair, I wanted to make a proposal. I'm not saying other members must not comment or ask questions, but to me, I think it will be proper, because as this committee will have at some stage very soon to take a decision about the situation in the MDDA, situation of the board. Luckily, we're there, and we did interact with the staff. So to me, Chair, I think instead of giving, you know what I don't want, Chair, to happen here? don't want, who have listened to all of them, I will say don't even give them a chance to reply to what he's saying, because he's reacting from their presentation. So we don't want to be put in court that those board members must not respond. Maybe they will respond in another manner or another mechanism we might put in place here in dealing with this problem. I would propose that we squeeze in our very packed program, I know, just a day again with the minister, and they come here, all of them with the minister, so that in that meeting we take a final decision, all of us, what to do with MTDA. That will be my proposal. Otherwise, I don't want to get into, because once we get into that, the board will want to come and dispute what he's saying, and he was actually challenging what some areas of their presentation. I don't want us to get into that as this committee. Unless, because this is not an inquiry, it's a committee meeting. So I think, Chair, I wanted to propose that.
I think members are going to speak. It's allegations and counter accusations. And the proposal is that let us not engage on that. All what we can do is to check questions, is to ask questions. Not on this one said this and this one said that. And I think that's what the Honorable Kalago is saying. Because it needs something else. Once you get there, you need something else, some kind of an arrangement to listen to that kind of thing. That's what he's saying. Honorable Kunga?
At times when you're a human being, you get freshened by good things, but there are times when you get freshened by bad things. I think I want to support what Honorable Karako is saying, but it's important just to highlight one or two of the issues that the view that says under normal circumstances, MDDA is supposed to be executively led by the acting CEO cannot be faulted. Not because one is opening any discussions. For instance, I just want to show, you see, if you look at the report that has been given now by the chair of the MDDA, at slide 23, sometimes I get confused whether I talk about a page or a slide. Because last time I remember, they are just not the same. Under consequently, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they say the lack of implementation of board and plan decisions. So those words are very important. Because that board's planned decisions is a non-correlating board. It's a very important point to mark. It's not the CEO that is saying that. The board is saying their decisions are not being implemented. And that board is a non-correlating board. So this is a very important point to mark when you deal with this matter. Now, there's a question of the cancellation of contract. In that space, if you talk about executive functions, that is a CEO's what you call space. There's an aspect, one is not introducing anything, just to highlight the seriousness of the case. If you go to where they are responding to the committee, the different small documents, recommendation and responses. There is no page there. I don't know what slide you call that. The first page under CEO, the board chairperson must speed up or whatever. There's a bullet that says the interview process for a new CI completed in August. Now, once it means it has been completed by this board. This small document, this one that says recommendations of the portfolio committee October 2016. It says there, that first page after this whatever, it says interview process for the new CE, what is the CI? This is the chief executive. It says completed in August 2017. This is the period during which the board is not what to call, is not correcting. Shortlisting of CFO in progress.
And before you proceed, this statement was, is it a recommendation?
It's a recommendation of the PCC asked them to attend to some questions. And then this is the response to that. And if you risk specialist tender, whatever, shortlisting for posts in progress. There's another document which speaks about the recruitment plan. Now, one presupposes that all these things are being decided by, are under the hands of the board. Because if the CEO, uvalelwe ngaphandle, what is uvalelwe ngaphandle in English? If the CEO's view external, if the CEO is closed outside, now literally, yeah. Now all I'm saying, it means a non-correlating board is running MTA with the exclusion of the executive protocol. Those things, I'm not here to engage with them on them. It's just so that people understand the portfolio committee is not arbitrary in recommending particular. So that people understand Honorable Kalabo is not arbitrary in saying a serious process should be engaged on. The point I'm making is that having listened to the chair of the board, having listened to the CEO, having gone through some documents, there's a serious need for the portfolio committee to interface with the state of governance of the board, of the what to call, of the MTDA. Very, very serious. Even if you read the AG's what to call, AG's report, there's a lot of story there that calls for a close examination of the state of governance. All I'm saying is that I support the Honorable Kalago, but I thought it was important to highlight factual reason why this thing is urgent. It's urgent. It can't be done too long from now. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Chair, this whole report for me could have been handled differently. This whole scenario could have been handled differently. I mean, there's no way in the kind of government that you have in South Africa you can allow an entity that talks about itself in different terms. Because we are sitting before us with MDDA. Therefore, it is just not normal for MDDA to come and talk differently about itself. And it's quite disappointing, Chairperson. Maybe if we could go back to what you emphasized earlier on to say, we acknowledge the fact that the minister is not here. However, I think if she was put on board about this, she could have handled this differently under her leadership. Because really, we to make us to be suspicious that we are now getting into another SABC scenario. 5th of October, portfolio committee between the portfolio committee and SABC. This is exactly what issues transpired. Chairperson, whilst I agree with the honourable members that this must just go back, because the first thing that is supposed to lead MDGA is being ignored, the act. How do you come before the portfolio committee and you undermine this very act that makes you to exist and want somebody to listen to you? So, Chairperson, once we request that the minister must take charge of this, we're not saying they must just go back all by themselves, because if you call them next week, they might not be different from what they are today. So you need the leadership of the minister directly. She must just come in and make sure that she brings an MDDA, a coherent MDDA, by emphasizing to the MDDA management the acts that govern them. Because with all that you are hearing, I don't even, you know, Chairperson, the first report that we got, who could it be very excited. But for people like us that were on the ground, monitored the projects that the MDDA keep on referring to, we were so surprised by that beautiful report that was put here, because nothing of that kind exists anyway. Insofar if we could have been able to read this report. But also, I'm disappointed by the chairperson of the board job, because she committed to say, in putting her report, she will reflect on the state of the report that we had as a PC, insofar as our visits were concerned. And in her report, there was nothing of that kind. Because that alone, if she could have found time to read this report, she would be very hesitant to come and present what she's presenting today. In many ways, whether it's governance issues and everything, because our report talks to all of that. But Chairperson, what I want to emphasize is the fact that as we are requesting them to go back, the minister must take charge of the situation, they must respect the act, they must come with the necessary speed, but they must respect the act that governs MDDA. Because without that, there will be no need for us to meet with them. In fact, if they can do that, this report will be a different report. It will change drastically. Because this one undermines each and all that piece of legislation. This report undermines that. And it's just a pity, and I'm quite disappointed, Chair. I must emphasize that. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
I think, Chair, I have also the same sentiment to support my colleagues in terms of the department to take this report back to the minister, and including the deputy minister must be present in this report. You know, I will hold my question, because I was highlighting all the questions I'm supposed to ask here. But because of this situation, we are, you know, I have a lack of the understanding in my mind now. I'm really stuck. But let us say the department must go back. I even also have questions around the oversight report. But it means we will not do anything about those reports. I'm just requesting that, Chair, if we agreed, all this report must not take place today. We have no choice. The report must go back with the report we are having right now. I'm really disappointed, Chair. But I don't want to take a side. I'm not in DDA, MDDA, but they must go back. Because I see the reaction of the other boards. They are shaking their heads. That means maybe some of the information we are receiving is not true. We don't know. We are not the doctors, which doctors? Let us agree all the report must go back so that we can have a proper time to ask a question. I won't ask anything right now up until they come back to us. Thank you
very much.
Thanks, Chair. I don't think I've ever seen a situation where an entity appears before a committee and the board and the CEO or the executive management give two completely different accounts of what's happening at an entity. So I'd like to thank Mr. Dipoko actually for his candor and having the bravery to speak up. Because what we see in entities often is that people keep quiet, everyone comes to Parliament and acts like everything is great, there are no problems. So I appreciate Mr. Dipoko for letting us know as Parliament what is going on at the MDDA, because we often only hear one side of the story, which is to wrap the wool around our eyes and be told that everything is great, there's no problems. I think we saw that also with the SABC. And as Parliament, we let things slide at the SABC until the situation where it was really, really, really bad. Now, I see that the MDDA will become the new SABC. It's not quite as bad yet, but we're on our way there. And I think it's our duty as this committee to arrest the decline before it becomes much worse. I think I agree with Honorable Kalako that we need to call the minister to come here, and both of them, the minister and the deputy, and they must, as the executive authority, account to us as Parliament. But I do think we must also make a value judgment as a committee, have the facts in front of us, and make a judgment based on what we have in front of us. Now, it's not the first time that we've heard that the chairperson acts as an executive chairperson. It predates Mr. Dipoko. You remember at our breakaway in Stellenbosch, Honorable Van Dijk raised the issue about the fact that the chairperson was also acting as the CEO. Her presentation today provided that evidence that she is actually the person running the MDDA. It is not the CEO. So we now have evidence to back up that claim. So on that basis, I do not see a situation where the MDDA's board, the MDDA's board under the chairpersonship of the current chair, will ever have a situation where they get along with the CEO. I don't see that ever happening, especially not with the acting CEO. There's been a complete breakdown of relationships, and I don't think it actually can be redeemed. Now, we know also that there's been a revolving door of staff at the MDDA, and the evidence presented before us is because of the leadership style of the board chair. So I do not see a situation where things are going to be fixed at the MDDA with the current leadership. So my proposal is, yes, let's bring the minister, but I believe that we also need to have an inquiry as the board, as Parliament, as this committee, into the fitness of this board to hold office. We need one, and number two, based on our oversight visits. I mean, I thought today's meeting would be the MDDA responding to our oversight visit report. They haven't responded to that. They haven't responded to our request, our questions about what is happening with money that is given to these projects. They've given us a report which basically paints a lovely picture about what's happening at the MDDA, the only problem is the CEO. They haven't responded to our questions. So number two, we need a forensic audit into all those projects that have happened at the MDDA. So like my other colleagues here, this is a very disappointing situation. I'm happy that Mr. Dipoko gave his side of the story, because otherwise we'd have just only heard one side of the story. So we've heard two sides of the story. So I believe the minister must come, both minister and the deputy must come next week, but I think from us as the committee, we need to have an inquiry into the fitness of the board to hold office, because we cannot have the situation continue as is. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. I am listening to the
Chair, my first question will be to the Chair of the Board. I want to just confirm whether the article in the Soweto on the 22nd of August, if it is true that you fired and reinstated the CEO, acting CEO, within 2 days. That's my first question, and then I want to refer the board to clause 23.1 of the NDDA board charter. It says that 5 members of the board must be present at any board, and that's what I want to highlight, at any meeting of the board. And then I want to refer the board to the fact that on the 31st of July, 23rd of August, they were having these meetings, and also the fact that I want to point out the fact that they were shortlisting for the CEO, and I want their opinion on that. And with regards to this page 23, the slide, it says that for the past 4 months, we have seen a deterioration. I want to bring it to your attention that a lot of this, what is happening on this slide, was also presented to the this committee March 2017. So a lot of these were already backlog problems that was now presented as new problems to the committee. And with that, I also want to raise the fact that we have been receiving letters from staff members since 2014 till up to now. And even recently, on the 15th, we received a letter from, I have a letter that was presented to the committee to ask for protection against the chair who wanted to have a meeting with the staff without the executive knowing about it. So there is a problem. And I personally also want to ask that we must institute an inquiry. Thank you.
Honourable Joseph.
Thank you, Chairperson. No, let me align myself to the proposals. We must reject this report, in fact. You must never think we're fools. We are not fools here. We must take the report back, and the CEO must write the report. You are not the one that should write the report. So we must reject this report. We must go back with it. When they come back, it must be a report from the CEO, which hopefully they all adopt. They must go sit somewhere and agree what must be the report. So I don't think we must just leave it like that. We're not rejecting the contents. The contents are, in my view, revealing and all of that, as all other members have said. But I think what we are saying is that we can't be fooled like that, and then we just move on. So you are not the accounting officer. You are not. That's what the Act says. It's not you who should speak to us in relation to everything you have spoken to us. In fact, I mean, in a normal organization that is structured this way, a CEO addresses us after being introduced by a board chairperson with a sober leadership quality in relation to what the Act expects of them. Then we get addressed about staff issues, governance issues, by the person that the Act mandates. This abnormality and the bravery, the audacity, it was for such a long time, we're being abused. We have serious business to deal with, including populating your board. And you come and waste our time like that. So I think you must know that, and therefore we reject that particular tendency with the contempt it deserves. And I think you must be ashamed if you do not know that it reflects on your leadership style, the schizophrenia that we are seeing here. You must be ashamed. So I would appeal to all of them to check their consciences, really, because the MDDA is a very important entity for breaking the type of monopoly in the media, for diversifying and giving voice to our people. They are busy, I mean, really destroying an organization, because people don't know where they belong. It's very funny. It's like tragic comedy they don't know that, you know, this is where we stop, this is the other, and all of that. So the dysfunctionality, in my view, we can't come back here when we meet again with the same dysfunctionality. Otherwise, we're going to be caught up in a merry-go-round. So the other thing, Chairperson, that I think is important here, I agree, the Deputy Minister and the Minister must come, but ultimately, this one, I think, you know, the Minister really needs to be around, and I agree with next Tuesday. Well, I'm being specific, I don't know if it was proposed. Let's see them next Tuesday and maybe help them. We have the option of an inquiry, which will lead to the disbandment, if needs be. And that's the attitude we're leaving this meeting with. We did an oversight. I'm not absolving the CEO from responsibility because that oversight exposes him as well. I mean, everything, that thing of being a crybaby as well, and then they locked me out, and then I didn't know what to do. Oh, my God, and then then I was sick. How can you give us a report like that? I mean, we're members of parliament, and that's an assessment we must hear. But that's what we saw when we did the oversight visit. Disorganization generally. So no one is absolved from the responsibility. But what we are wanting an opportunity to do is come back structured properly with your minister, and then we'll be able to make up our minds. I would support an inquiry, but I think we need to hear the side of the minister. Quite frankly, the deputy minister and the minister, I don't want to tie them to this conundrum. I mean, they are new, and these problems go far back. They are Mutambi's problems. They are honorable, faithful Mutambi's problems since 2014. Since I've sat in this committee, it's been a really confusing situation in this entity. So they predate the two accounting political officers. Let's give them an opportunity to come and say what they think. But I'm not interested in hearing any more from these people. Let's release them. And then maybe also to add, next time they must come, you don't have to bring the whole board, you know. Yeah. Just be sensitive of our resources as well. I don't know if that was the invitation, Chairperson. Can we also provide some sensitivity to those resources of flights and everything in that regard? But I propose next Tuesday with the minister, and the style and the tendency of presentation must be different from today. If they are making a presentation, it must come properly as a body that its chairperson is a non-executive member. And then, you see, chairperson, I don't know what is the sickness. I don't know what the condition of the minister. I don't know why she's sick. It may be fatal. I don't know. Which might present us with problems. This board is going to be quarried this week because of the appointments that we made already. They'll be quarried. I think this week, if our resolutions in Parliament last week are anything to go by, that was the Ikasa, ne? Okay, then I'm confusing the two. That's fine. Either way, if the minister is too sick, we must give them a maximum of two weeks. Hopefully they are recovered. So I'll be flexible with her availability. And my interest, honorable members, is the minister. That's the ultimate power. That's the member of the cabinet. The DM is not a member of the cabinet. So that's the member of the ultimately, that's the person that I think the agency of the matter needs. So let's release them, really. Hopefully they are also in one flight, and they are all sitting amongst the same chairs, so that they can start finding each other in a way, and then they can come back a little bit more soberly, so that we focus on problems, not on themselves, not on their attitudes, not their agitations, but on what the problems that face these institutions are, so that we are able to resolve them. That's my concrete proposal. Dismiss these people. Thank you.
Mashoba Kal and then we valid the Montelash.
I think I support the rejection of the report. Also, I want to emphasize to the NCT we don't need this report again. We need a collective report with the CEO. So these items that talk about the leadership style and all that, we don't need it. So they must go back as we agreed to release them, but they must correct the report. We don't need those items, those terms of the leadership style.
Thank you, Honorable Dorasha.
I think we are together with the view of Honorable Jose. Reject the report, they must withdraw the report, it should be, this report does not exist anywhere in our history. Coming back with the report, as Honorable Members are saying, that will respect the Act from the beginning. Indeed, they must be led by the minister. When will be that? I'm sure your office will take into consideration that she's not well. However, once she gets well, we'll be the first group for her to attend, because this is a crisis, Honorable Chairperson. This is a crisis. Before we get into anything else that seems to do anything, because reading our report, that report alone needs some explanation on the governance of MDDA. Because they got tranches of money that are being sent to people who don't have one system insofar as the accountability. Not even one system. Not even one. Lady Smith, you can name them who were there.
Yeah.
Nothing. People are just receiving. In fact, you find people who are just being told that, hey, Bayeza. And they rush to the venue. When you go to the venue, no, in fact, it's not supposed to be the venue. Then another venue is being arranged. Means these people are not operating from anywhere, anyway. They are just being collected because the committee is coming. And they even tell us sometimes, poor people. They were very honest sometimes to say, hey, you sing an ass. It's really what in years is old. So we thought we must just organize ourselves. Mabuze a board to a gym, then Ntombazana. Who is this Ntombazana? Why must you call her Ntombazana? Kamala Kate, sometimes I forget her name. And those people are the people that who were reported that they are working together. So I'm saying, Chairperson, let's reject this report. This report must be removed from any kind of an archive. It does not exist in any way. Let's make the team led by the minister. Thank you very much.
Okay, I think members will agree. But it will be necessary to take a decision on the way forward on what we must do. Hey, I'm talking to the inquirer. On what we must do, we must take that decision after meeting the minister and getting all this thing. So we can't take a report on that one now. That's one thing. The second thing is that yes, we'll have to the minister's leave, Honorable Lose, is 5 days. I assume by Friday she will be okay. And then she will be able to be here next week. On Tuesday we're interviewing MDDA. But on Wednesday, we're meeting the OC on the is it first quarter expenditure performance. So we're meeting the OC on Wednesday. Hopefully, it will be the whole day. That's what our program says. Mamela and the Congress, can we listen to each other? Serious business. so that we can meet the OC. We can utilize that space on Wednesday next week to do also MDDA. And then we finish the issues that are related to MDDA and the ministry that day. Because remember, we are pushing, the parliament is rising on the 7th, so we are pushing everything that is related to SABC to be done of September. 7th of September, the parliament is rising. So let's ensure that we do that next week on Wednesday. I hear members say, in the first place, it was supposed to be the CEO who's giving a report, Gray. That can be done in the absence of the CEO. I think this is what has been happening, unless otherwise, unless we are advised otherwise by the legal, those who are glued in legal matters. Because it's the act. So I hear that when we come back, we must get the report from the CEO and we do the usual, where the chairperson open and do the political side of it and then hand over the administration to the CEO. Okay. Policy, political. We do that like we do to other entities. Eh? I think this is what we must do next week. So on that one, we're fine. But on the question of saying the report must come back differently on Wednesday. I think this is what the committee say.
Agreed, Chairperson.
Even if you want to say something, MDDA and DOC, you don't have that space, unfortunately. The politicians decided on what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, we can release MDDA and we remain with DOC, because we'll be dealing with the report from the speaker.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Safe trip back. Please talk to each other. Talk to each other on the road. The CEO is the acting CEO. Is acting CEO of MDDA. No. Don't bring your problems here of the business class and economy.
There's always a twist. Okay. So if one of your parents is a chairperson, you twist English and say you're an acting.
Remember, now that MDDA is gone, there is this report okay let me check something first. Five-minute break. There is a proposal of 5-minute break whilst we are trying to organize ourselves.